Good morning. Please turn your psalm books to 328. I want to welcome everyone to the New Lex Church of Christ. Speaker this morning will be Charles Savage. Good to have him. 328, please.
Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Please stand.
Our Heavenly Father, we come for you today thanking you for another opportunity to worship and sing praise to you. God, we ask you to be with us today as we go through our lesson, that we're able to take what we learned today and apply it to our lives, become better Christians, and continue to grow within the church. God, we thank you for our speaker today, Charles. Please be with him as he presents our lesson. God, thank you for our many blessings in this world. And when we do fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, and that in the Pew Bible is page 1469, 1469. Again, that's Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to have saved that which was lost.
Please mark your psalm books 560, a very song of encouragement. Please turn to 283. I'll be listening.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. When He calls for me, I will hear. When the Savior calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
my heart is right when he calls me. If my heart is right, I will hear. If my heart is right when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name. I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening, I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Yes, I hope I'm on. I'm on. He's shaking his head yes at me. Okay, good deal. I understand that New Lexington had a winning football game Friday night, so congratulations. Meadowbrook did not. We died on the field, okay. And interesting thing about being a substitute teacher at Meadowbrook High School is the students don't really actually expect me to show up. And then when I do, they're like, wow, you're here, why did you come? I was like, well, I came to watch the game. You all invited me, didn't you? So, you know, I kind of wonder about, you know, my role as a substitute teacher. But we're back in school, and it is hot. My wife has air conditioning in her classroom, and I do not. I'm not sure how I got cheated, but she did, you know. And so this next week, you might want to feel sorry for the teachers and the students, because it's supposed to get up into the 90s. So the classroom is going to be warm. Your kids come home, your grandchildren come home and talk about how hot it was in school, they're right. 95 in a classroom with 25 people gets a bit much. Okay. If you would please turn with me today in the book of Luke. Matter of fact, we're gonna get into a couple of the chapters, a couple of different chapters. Chapter 18 and chapter 19. And I'm going to talk this morning about a couple of gentlemen who are very similar to each other. Not exact, but similar. Okay? Jesus has been preaching for a little while to a crowd. He's got a variety of people in the crowd. He's got ordinary people. He's got Sadducees, Pharisees. He's got rich people. He's got poor people. Okay? You can't have too much of a different kind of group than the people who, number one, are looking for hope. Okay, remember who's in charge of the area is not the Jews, but the Romans. You get somebody kind of like what we were talking about the Jews and the Philistines a little while about a month ago. Okay, for some strange reason, the Jews don't seem to quite be in charge of their own piece of property. They just seem to get in all kinds of trouble that way, and of course they also cause all kinds of trouble that way. So, you know, again, we've got the Romans in charge of the Jewish people, and the Jews are always looking for hope. They're always looking for somebody to lead them on to get back at the Romans. And by the way, that never seems to quite work. I don't know why, but it just never seems to quite work that way. Maybe there was a reason, because the Jewish people never quite seem to behave themselves as far as God's rule is concerned. But Jesus comes along, and there's just a little bit of a feedback there, just a little. Okay, but anyway, in chapter 18, I want you to go down to about verse 18. And there's a gentleman who, you know, he seems like he has his act together just a little bit, but he has this burning question. He has this burning question for Jesus. He says, now a certain ruler asked him, he's saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He's curious, but he's been listening to Jesus teach all kinds of things here. And he's healed lepers. He's taught the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, the parable of the unjust steward. Jesus has been doing a lot of teaching, trying to compare things to things. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, blessed are these little children. He's given us this lesson about we need to be like children in order to be able to understand heaven. Which, by the way, it gives me hope because when I try to do something as a musician, as a creative human being, I keep telling my wife I am the perpetual five-year-old. So there might be hope for me after all, okay? Not sure how much, but there's hope for me because I continue to just play in my head like I'm a five-year-old. But anyway, the guy says, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He wants eternal life, not just life. And by the way, we know he is a ruler, and most rulers have money, okay? Most rulers have money. He says, why do you call me good? Me, why do you call me good? Jesus is asking him a question. You, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Jesus sets him straight to start with. Why are you calling me good? There's nobody good except God Almighty. My Father, basically, he's saying. Well, that immediately would put me on the defensive. Why are you calling me? Why? You ask your parents a question, why? Why do you want that? My dad would do that to me all the time. I must have been an ornery child. My dad, I can remember asking my father, Dad, can we ski off the garage? Why? I asked him that every day during the summer because I was bored. Dad, can we ski off the garage? Why? Every day he came home from work, I'd ask him the same question. So eventually he'd just say, let's don't and say we did. It took me forever to understand what he meant by that. It's like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean? Let's don't and say we did. I had to think about that. It took me forever to understand what he meant by that. Once I caught on, I realized that we weren't going to get the ski off the garage. But anyway, he says, why do you call me good? There's only one person who's one that's good, and that's God, my dad, my father. You know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your mother and father. Jesus starts into the list of things that he's supposed to do. Now, this kind of fills you in a little bit about this young ruler, is you have to surmise from this list that he is Jewish. And how do I say that? If you're not Jewish, you don't pay attention to these commandments. They mean nothing to you. So this rich young ruler is Jewish. The Romans don't care about these things. The Greeks don't care about these. They have their own philosophy. Jesus has this gentleman thinking like he's, as a Jew, because he says here, all these things I have kept from my youth. If you're Roman, you wouldn't keep these rules from your youth. This young man says, I have followed all the rules, all of them. When? Since he was a young boy, since he had understanding of what it was he was supposed to do. And you're taught at a fairly early age, these are the Ten Commandments, and this is what you do. This is how you honor God. Bang, 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 bang. There's 10 of them. Matter of fact, if I were to ask all of you, what are the Ten Commandments? You could probably quote all of them, or at least most of them. Every once in a while, my brain decides it wants to skip one now and then. It's like, oh, yeah, I forgot that one, didn't I? But this gentleman knew them all because he'd followed them all. including honoring his mother and father, which sometimes we all have a hard time doing as we grow up. What do they know? They don't know anything. I'll just, you know, old people, who cares, you know? And then we become not what we're supposed to be. So Jesus looks and he says, so. When Jesus heard these things, he says to him, you still lack one thing. Now remember, this gentleman is intelligent. This gentleman is a ruler, which means he has money. He's followed all the commandments. He's been a good Jew. And Jesus still looks at him and says, you lack one thing. Now, you probably used to this. You fill out a form, you do something, you know, you turn it in, and all of a sudden somebody looks at you and says, you forgot to check that box. Oh, yeah. Okay, and you fill it in. Or you forgot something. I don't know about you, but this happened to me this last year. I got in trouble with our favorite initials, IRS. Yeah, we all know those initials. Yeah, I hate these things. Okay. Bless his heart, Tom Charles. I liked him. I like Tom Charles. Do y'all know Tom Charles? Okay. If you don't, you should have. Okay. Tom's gone now. But Tom and I had this running joke all the time. I asked him one time what was his favorite song, expecting that he was going to pick a hymn out of the hymn book because he was a song leader as well as a good elder. He was an excellent elder. But he is also a song leader. And when Tom led singing, you had to keep up with him. I promise. He was a man. He hit the ground fast and furious, and if you couldn't keep up, too bad. You know, and he and I had that discussion a number of times. But anyway, he was a tax man. He was an IRS agent. And so anyway, we did our taxes this last year. Next thing I know, about 3 or 4 months later, I get this letter in the mail from the IRS telling me that I owe them money on something that, for some strange reason, we didn't even take into account, but they did. So I have to, not only do I owe them money, but I also owe them a fine. It's like, wow, this is gonna be hard. And it was, but we paid it off and we got things going. And if I just simply known that I had to do that ahead of time. But anyway, he says, you lack one thing. So what I forgot to do was check a box. You'll learn not to do that next time around. Yeah, you had to pay that fine. But anyway, he says, you lack one thing. Sell all that you have, then distribute to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And, oh, come follow me. Okay, so what's he saying to this guy? He says, there's nothing wrong with being rich. But he knew what this gentleman's heart was like. He had everything, but Jesus knew that this guy was more interested in how much money he had. Having money wasn't anything wrong, but Jesus knew where his heart was. How? He's the Son of God. What's your heart like? I don't know. I have no clue. I am not blessed in that area. You know, I just take it for granted you're all honest people. I take it for granted that you're all nice people. I don't know what your heart's like. You know, you all treat me nicely, so I assume that you're all nice people. Okay? I don't read people's minds. I gave that up when I was 5 years old. And it didn't work on my dad, so I just gave it up, you know. Dad, can we ski off the garage? Anyway, he says, sell all that you have, not part, not just a little bit. He says, sell all that you have. And what are you supposed to do with all that money? Give it to the poor. Distribute it to the poor. You might need more than I do. Or you might need more than the person sitting next to you. I distribute it out as it's needed. But I'm supposed to give it all away. All of it. Distribute to the poor. And what will I have? I will have treasure in heaven. Jesus is making him a promise. If you give it all away, you will have treasure in heaven. And then he asks one more thing of him, and come follow me. Now there's a lot in those little words. There's a lot in those little words. You remember who we're talking to? Jesus is telling the rich young ruler what to do with his money, what his possessions. He's going to lose his standing in the world. He's about to lose everything that he has and give it to who? The poor. Okay? He's going to lose his property. He's going to sell his property. He's going to sell his prize paintings or his gold, his rings, his necklaces. He's going to lose his staff at his home. He's going to lose his house and give it to the poor. He's going to have nothing except what's on his back. Jesus is asking him to give away everything. Give it to people that he has ruled over. Okay? Which means in the next line it says, come follow me. Rulers are used to being in charge. He's asking this rich young ruler to no longer be a ruler, but be a follower. You're going to take your job and reverse it. That's not easy to do. Politicians like to stay politicians. People in charge of things like to stay in charge until they choose to retire, give it up, or whatever. They get change their mindset. Jesus is telling him, you want to know, what you can get there for eternal life? You get rid of it all and you follow me. You're going to change your reverse. You're rich, now you're going to become poor. You are a leader, now you're going to become a follower. Wow, for some people, that's a lot to ask. That's a lot to ask. The CEOs of companies don't give that up easily. That's the reason they ask for these huge bonuses, so that when they give up everything, they still have something left. Okay. All right, that's one gentleman we're going to talk about. But it says in verse 23, you know how his heart is. You instantly know what went wrong. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful. He was sad. What? You're going to make me give up everything? He was very sad, for he was very rich. Very rich. It's not just rich. He was very rich. How rich is that? I have no idea. I really don't. I have no idea what it's like to be rich. I'm going to be paying on that pickup truck out there in the parking lot for the next 4 years. I am not rich. And Mark's sitting here going, yep, it's going to be a while. Yeah, I've already been paying up for two, so for another four, this is going to be a tough deal. That's one person. That's one rich man we get to talk about. Now, in part of our reading, we're going to go to the next rich man in chapter 19. Same book, Luke 19. Okay. Jesus is on his way through Jericho. Jesus is traveling. Okay, 19 verse 1. Then Jesus entered in, passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named who? Zacchaeus. We all know Zacchaeus. We all know this story. Okay, we don't really actually think about it. We think about the gentleman's height, but we don't think about the rest of him. Okay. Behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was what? A chief tax collector. And he was rich. Okay, the first guy is a ruler. Okay, he's rich because the scripture says so. Who do we have now? We have a chief tax collector. He's not just a tax collector. He's a chief tax collector. Okay, and he was very rich. Okay, now Tom Charles may have been a tax collector, but I don't think he was rich. I don't think so. I know Tom and his wife, they're nice people. And he says, and he sought to see who Jesus was. He wants to see him. He wants to find out who Jesus is. But he could not because of the crowd, for he was short stature. Okay, he's a little guy. Okay, how little? I don't know. It just says he was short. Okay, I don't know how short short is. So he ran ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. Okay, so we know that Zacchaeus is a bit on the creative side. He says, I can't see above the crowd, so I need to get higher. I'm going to climb up in this sycamore tree. Anybody here got a sycamore tree in their yard? I'm just asking. Okay, I don't know how tall sycamore trees are and whether they've got lots of limbs that you can climb up, but Zacchaeus is creative enough to go, okay, if I'm going to see who Jesus is, I got to get higher than the crowd, and I'm going to climb up in this tree. Who knows? Maybe that sycamore tree was right there by the road just so Zacchaeus could climb up it. Who knows? God does some interesting things sometimes. You know, Zacchaeus says, ooh, tree. Good. I can get up there. Okay, so he has to be creative. He wants to find out who Jesus is. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. Come down. For today, I must stay at your house. You're a tax collector. Zacchaeus, I know you. Today, I'm going to be at your house. I need to stay at your house. I wonder what Zacchaeus thought about that. What? This guy's going to stay at my home? Okay, let's see. Is the house clean? Do I have any food? You know, all kinds of things run through your mind. I'm coming to your house. I'm going to stay overnight. How's that sound? You're going to take out the vacuum cleaner, dust the floor before I show up, kick the cat outside, get rid of the dog, that kind of thing. You got to go run to the grocery store, put stuff in the refrigerator, that kind of thing. Who knows what was running through Zacchaeus's mind? You're going to stay at my house? Oh, I'm not sure this is going to be a good idea. Okay. All kinds of things run through our minds at this point in time. Let's see. Did I pay the water bill? Make sure I got electricity, that kind of thing. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. This made Zacchaeus happy. Jesus is going to stay at my house? Cool. That's really kind of neat. When I was in college at Ohio Valley College and Harding University, we used to actually stay overnight in people's homes as a traveling chorus. And you'd be surprised, a lot of people are actually glad to have us stay overnight. But you can tell that they had cleaned the house, stocked the refrigerator, had cleaned their bathrooms. The house was spotless because they were having guests. So whether Zacchaeus' house was like that or not, I don't know. But anyway, he received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they complained. Who's they? Well, the Sadducees and Pharisees. You have to go back a couple of chapters to find out the Sadducees and Pharisees are complaining. What? Saying he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner? Okay, the Sadducees and Pharisees. Oh man, if you were a tax collector, you were hated. You were a hated person. Jesus doesn't seem to care. He's going to stay at Zacchaeus' house. Okay, Zacchaeus is happy. I wonder how many guests Zacchaeus ever had in his house. Probably not too many. Why? He's a tax collector. If you're a friend of a tax collector, that makes you an enemy of the Jewish people. Okay, and more than likely, if you were Jewish, the Romans didn't trust you either. So you're somewhere in the middle. I mean, when was the last time you trusted a tax collector? Think about that for a second. Okay, then Zacchaeus... He's gone to be a guest of the tax collectors, And so then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. Whatever my salary is, I give half of it to the poor." I don't know what Zacchaeus made. We're not ever told. But even if whatever he made, he gave half of it to the poor, he still was rich. Why? Because verse 1 says so. So whatever money he made, whatever things he had in his life, he gave half of it to the poor, and he was still rich. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now this takes a little bit of thought. Tax collectors were not trusted. Roman tax collectors were notorious for tweaking what you owed. They were notorious for upping the ante a little so that the Romans got their share, but the tax collector got his share too. And if it made him rich, hey, you know, that's why we don't trust tax collectors, because we always figured they're on the take. Because they were. But Zacchaeus is saying, if I cheated anybody out of anything by false accusation, I'll pay him back fourfold. Now, you have to think about that for a little bit, because if I cheated you out of a dollar, that means I owe you $4. If I did that to enough people, I'm about to go broke. If I cheated every one of you out of $100, that means I'm going to have to, if I say this to Jesus, I have to pay you back $400. I'm about to go broke because I don't have it. But that's what Zacchaeus is saying. If I cheated anybody, I'm going to have to pay them. I promise you, I will pay them back fourfold. Now, you wouldn't make that promise unless, number one, you could keep it. Number two, you knew you didn't cheat anybody. So there's a catch there. Zacchaeus is saying, I'm an honest person, but just in case I'm not, I'm willing to pay it back. That gets expensive fast. He's about to go broke if he did. If he's lying, Jesus will know it, because Jesus knew the heart of the first rich man. He'll know the heart of Zacchaeus. And what's Jesus say to him in verse 9? And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. You're not a son of Abraham unless you're Jewish. The Jews were very proud of being, they kept track of their lineage, their genealogy. My mother does that. She keeps track of the savage family genealogy. And she tried to fill me in on everybody who's in our family. You know, after a while, you just keep hearing about all these relatives that you're supposed to have. And I keep telling her, the only ones I'm interested in is the axe murderers and horse thieves. Those are the only ones got anything exciting going on. Nah, we don't have any of those in our family. Rats. Okay, anyway, and the moonshiners. I mean, we don't have any of those either. So anyway, but the Jews kept track of their genealogy. Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was a son of Abraham because he was Jewish. So you have a Jewish rich tax collector. And that already, no wonder everybody said he was a sinner, because that's the picture that's painted, the reputation that goes with being a Jewish tax collector. And Zacchaeus says, I give half of my stuff to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody, I will pay it back fourfold. Zacchaeus was willing to pay a price for that, a very expensive price for that. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today. That understanding, that the heart of a giver is there. Jesus knew that. For the Son of Man has come to seek and do what? Save that which was lost. The rich young ruler wasn't willing to give it up. Zacchaeus was not only willing to give it up, he was willing to pay it back fourfold. The rich young ruler hadn't broken any rules, but Jesus knew in his heart he wasn't willing to give up worldly things. Jesus knew the heart of Zacchaeus and knew that he was willing to give it all. not just give it away, but he was willing to also pay it what was going to be owed. Two rich men. One walked away sorrowful. One walked away not having what he asked for because he was not willing to pay the price. He was not willing to give up something that meant something from him. Okay, we were talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego this morning. They were willing to give their lives, be burned to death to follow God. Zacchaeus was willing to give it all and then some. He wasn't even asking for salvation. And Jesus says, salvation has come to you. And he says, why? Because I came to seek and save the lost. Not only did Zacchaeus get what he wanted, Jesus coming to his home, but Jesus came to his heart. Because Zacchaeus was willing to give it all. He got more than he bargained for. He was going to get everything, including salvation. Sometimes the prize is in the bottom of the box. Remember that? Yeah, when you buy the cereal at the grocery store. Some people cheat. They turn the box upside down and they open up the bag. I know how that is because I used to do that too as a kid. Oh, my dad would get so mad at me. He says, because you didn't do it right. And he'd take the prize and he'd put it back in the box and shake it up and tape the bottom of the box up. And that way you have to eat the cereal. And then some of us do it right. We eat the cereal. We find the prize in the bottom of the box. Zacchaeus didn't know what the prize was going to be. But Jesus told him what it was. Salvation has come to you. Zacchaeus was going to receive a prize that the rich young ruler was not willing to go for. Jesus asked one thing of him. Zacchaeus offered. Two rich men, basically the same story, two different outcomes. Jesus knows your heart. He knows mine. He knows what we want. He knows what we need. These two gentlemen needed the same thing. One knew it, one did not. One didn't get it, the other one did. All because of life choices. One didn't care about the poor. The other one did, and then some. Kind of an odd way of looking at two rich men. It could have just as easily been two poor men, but it wasn't. It was about two men who made completely different choices and got something completely different. If there's any way that we can help you make a choice today, come as we stand and sing.
Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come. do what he will, he is the living way. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to enter the kingdom, leaving the paths of sin. Friends may oppose me, foes may beset me, still will I enter in. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Please be seated. As we prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper, as we do each week, sing 119, 119. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. In pity, angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. And how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. When with the ransom in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Thank you.
Is there anyone that needs the Lord's Supper this morning? Bernie's up and willing to bring that to you if you need it. I'm unsure that was the one. I may have to stand a little closer. I'm not hearing it. I'm sure you're able to hear me. We come to another part of our worship at this time. We do this because we know the New Testament church, on the first day of the week, observed the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And we know that the church of the New Testament did this on the first day of the week by Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Paul was there at that service. He was with the people at this time. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, knew what was correct and the right way to do things. And this is what they did on the first day of the week. We know from Jesus his instructions on how to do this. He chose the bread, his body. He said, "This is my body." He chose the cup containing the fruit of the vine, which was his blood, he said, represented his blood. So there's no doubt about what they did when they did it. It's whether we're going to obey what they did as they did. You might ask, well, why are you going to use the monitors this morning? I know from teaching in the last 17 years that I taught, I worked with kids that had trouble with math, trying to get them ready for the proficiency test so they'd have a high school diploma. And they'd not been successful with math for about 7 years. And I know from working with them and trying to get people to remember things, you want to use as many avenues as you can to get through to them. I knew basic skills were necessary, so that's one of the things I wanted to work on. You start at the foundation. In learning those, I found different things out because we are all different, remember? God made us that way. We all learn differently. This shows the great wisdom. Charles's lesson this morning, we see Jesus as a teacher about asking questions. Those questions were poignant, right to the point. The master teacher. Jesus knew when he chose bread what he was doing and cup cutting through the vine. If you think about it, when this is on this morning, I want you to see the scripture. I'm just going to look at a couple scriptures. You're going to see it. You're going to hear it. You're going to remember that better. Jesus knew with this, we hear it, we see it, we touch it, we taste it, and if you have a good smell, we might even smell it. All those ways to learn. Lest we forget, are we going to forget? You think about that, the master teacher. Let me just look at a couple here this morning to get this turned on. A couple short verses to prepare our minds to take the Lord's Supper. Philippians 2 and verse 8. And being found in appearance as a man, himself, notice that's a capital H on that is Jesus, and became something to the point of death, even a series of words there. Maybe you know that scripture from heart, maybe you don't. Think about what you would put into that. And I'm looking at the different versions, there is a couple words that mean about the same thing. Again, let's put those words in there. And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus Christ came to earth, lived and suffered on that cross as a man, but was the Son of God. He humbled himself, the Son of God humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death. And this is what surprised me when I looked and first saw this verse. I thought, wow, the song that Tom led us in this morning had five verses And you could go on and on about what Jesus has done for us. It takes a lot. But here in just about, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words, even the death of the cross. You realize how much could be said about that. We know what that means. But just in a phrase like that, it puts it all there. Even the death of the cross. So there's our example, to be humble people and be obedient. In the lesson we saw on Noah, it was just Noah did what? He did the commandments of God. The word all was used in that. All that God commanded. It's very important. Another verse, 1 Peter 2:22. Now we just looked at, I think Paul had written that to the Philippians, so the inspired apostle Paul had written that down. And now we're looking at something Peter says about this. He who no sin, neither was found in his mouth. Again, it may be familiar to you, and it may not be. He who committed no sin, and in some versions that says did, he who did no sin, committed no sin, sinless, the perfect Lamb of God, and neither was deceit found in his mouth. And some says, I think, gall. Did you ever think about the two thieves on the cross? One thief repented, and Jesus said he'd be with him in paradise. The other thief didn't. And what he was going through and all the pain and what words might have been coming out of that other thief's mouth, I don't imagine all was recorded. It's hard to take pain and feel that you're not being treated right and not be spewing all kind of words. Here it is, the perfect Lamb of God, no sin, being tortured like this, dying on that cross, humiliated before his family and friends. Not one word come out of his mouth that wasn't pure, wasn't righteous. This is something for us to keep in mind this morning as we remember our Lord and Savior with this bread, represents his body, this cup containing the fruit of the vine, which represents his precious blood that he shed for us, each one of us. It brings us in unity this morning that if each one of us is focused on that all together at this time, let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come thanking thee for the blessings of this day, for the great love that you have for us, Father, that you were willing to send your Son, the perfect, sinless Christ, that would suffer and die on that cross for our sins. As we partake of this bread, Father, help us to be mindful of his body upon that cross, that he was willing to do that for each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Likewise, he partook of the cup. Heavenly Father, we thank thee now for this cup containing the fruit of the vine, which represents the precious blood that Jesus shed on the cross for us. Help us not only to be mindful and focused on that at this time, but each moment of our lives, Father, what it took to have our sins forgiven, that we might be in the right relationship with you, our Heavenly Father. We're so thankful for that sacrifice and for the many blessings that you bestow upon us daily, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We also know that that upon the first day of the week, the New Testament church gave as they'd been prospered. And this for supporting the church, the good works that we are to be doing, and the word that we're supposed to be teaching. Let's go to God in prayer at this time for the privilege of giving. Heavenly Father, we come thanking thee now for the blessings you bestow upon us daily, the means that we have of making a living. Help us now to give back that which truly belongs to you. All things, Father, come from thee. We recognize you as our creator and the creator of everything that's in this earth. We pray that the church here, Father, might grow and prosper and be able to reach out to many people. Help us to be pleasing in your sight in the things and the behaviors we have, the words that are uttered from our mouth, and even the thoughts that come into our mind. Help us to be guided by Jesus in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
In the way of announcements this morning, I'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service, and especially like to extend a welcome to our visitors we have with us today also. I want to remember all the ones that's in the bulletin on the prayer list. We have a pretty lengthy list here, and we want to remember all them, especially want to remember Jim's mom with all the what's going with her. And I know this past week, I know she'd been in the hospital a couple of times, and they finally found out she has dementia. So I know she's got for what they diagnosed her with and all that, that's pretty rough. It's going to be pretty rough for her, actually. So we want to remember her. And especially want to remember Dave Hall. He's not with us today, but we know he's at home. He's recovering, and he's in rehab, and Dave's got a pretty good lengthy path, but from everything I've seen of him so far, I think he's doing really well. I mean, for all what he's went through, so that's really encouraging. We remember our Bible studies. That's on Sunday morning. We're currently studying the book of Daniel on Sunday morning. And also on the Sunday evening, the ladies are meeting on the They're coming together and on the phone and having a class, and they're doing 2 Kings. And I believe tonight they're going to do a review of 2 Kings. So, and also our midweek service on Wednesday night, we're doing Proverbs. And that's a good lesson there also. So, I mean, we've got three good lessons going on at three different times for Bible studies. So I encourage you to come for them. Also, the primary class is almost at the end of the month now for August, but they're moving mountains as their topic on August. And in September, they're going to be doing paying the price as their topics for their class. Also, we're having the heart-to-heart. We encourage you people, you know, to read these. And I know Jimmy has several, and I know we have several of them around the building. And encourage you to get one. There's several different good articles in there, and then you can actually use them heart to heart actually as a teaching. And you know, some of a lot of stuff that's in there, you can go and teach, and you can actually go and study with somebody, and just use that heart to heart pamphlet and do it that way. Also, we can see that. We have the technology, the center back there. We got the room; it's up and moving. Everything's in there. And Jared, I'm sure if anybody hasn't been in there and seen that, I encourage you to stop in there. I'm sure Jared will show you around and kind of give you a tour. We want to thank Charles for our fine lesson this morning. He was our speaker this morning, and you know, you think from the lesson he gave, you know, what you learn. You know, not just because it was a taxpayer, but, you know, and I can honestly tell you, I've got myself in trouble with the IRS too, because they gave me the same little letter saying, whoops, you missed something. So, and I had that happen to me. Just like Terrell said, take the time to check the boxes. So, and that's what we need to do. Of course, there are several area events going on at different places around us, and the church is there. And Holly has that in the bulletin also. Encourage you to look at over. At our house in September, on the September the 21st, on a Saturday, we're planning on having a patio praise. And we did it last year, and it really went really well last year. We just come and we sit on our patio that we have, and we sing songs. And then eventually, I guess you could say, I know I'm not the one fixing the hot dogs, but Holly, I think, fixes some hot dogs and snacks and stuff like that. So I encourage you to come for that night, and that starts from 5 to 7. And of course, if we need to go past 7 o'clock, we can do that too. So Holly's starting to generate a list of the, since school's getting back into session, she was trying to get a little head start on they're trying to get the list together for the seniors. Anybody that's going to graduate this year, just let it be known, and that way we can get you down and we can make sure you're on that list. Just trying to do a little planning ahead. This past Wednesday, we had a baptism, and I'd like to welcome Bonnie Peters. And she's a new sister in Christ, and she is here today. So I encourage you to stop by and say something to her, and you know, encourage her on that. Of course, we have a card shower coming up, and that's for Janice Payton. The address is in here in the bulletin. Encourage you to send the card to her and stuff like that. She's down in the Hocking Valley Community Hospital at this time. I know she's going through a bunch of stuff down there for that, so encourage that. While we're talking about cards, there is cards in the back. If you haven't signed the cards already, I encourage you to do that when you go to leave. The ladies will have a meeting this morning, immediately after services here up front, discussing the upcoming Ladies' Day. You think about that, it's only a couple months away, so they need to start getting some preparations and getting things started for that. Also, I had a note given to me when we're talking about the ladies. Announce about the floor in the ladies' restroom. I guess it's wet. It says be careful when you're going into that restroom, so it's because the floor is wet. That way you'll kind of use caution. Also, we're talking about different events going on. There's going to be a men's day at Lubeck Church of Christ. That's down in Washington, West Virginia. And that'll be in September the 28th. So I'll put that flyer up on the board back there. And also, I had a card given to me as a thank you. It says, Dear Church of South Main Church of Christ, thank you for the beautiful floral arrangement and for your kind support through this difficult time. That was from the family of Anna Marie Haney during the passing of her. I think that's about everything I have this morning. Is there anything I may have overlooked or...
I just wanted to tell the brothers and sisters, I appreciate your prayers, this time with Mom, and dementia, we've been dealing with that for a little while. It is a grand disease, no cure, it just progresses and it gets worse. You're running this slowly dog. It causes all kinds of different behaviors. The person is not themselves anymore. One of the things that we've tried to do for mom and dad is keep them at home. They want no changes. I guess we think a lot of us think that way, but that's not easy to do. And we keep them at home as long as we can, and we're still trying to do that. Continue to do for it. It's not easy. A lot of different ways to give them to think about that. We're all going to die, and this Christ comes before the end, about the way we're going to die. We have no choice in that. Like, we didn't have any choice in being transformed when you were born, or that type of thing. It's not a choice thing. We have a choice in a lot of things, but not that. I do encourage you to introduce yourself to Bonnie this morning, and be so happy that she chose to be a child of God, and we welcome her to this. Thank you.
I'd like to say one thing. Baptized Bonnie, she tells me she wants to learn and she wants to grow. She found a church that's not out there with just looks. We encourage each one to help her. Be here. Help each other.
Okay, if there's nothing else, I'll ask you to stand and we'll have the closing prayer.
Just remind the ladies about the upcoming meeting here, and I believe we'll get through the report.
Dear Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. We thank this opportunity we've had to come together this morning to worship you, sing songs, praise that they hear your word proclaimed. We thank you for all that you do for us. We ask you to help us be better Christians, better examples. We thank you for Bonnie and her acceptance of your will, that when she was baptized here Wednesday, be with her and help strengthen her. Dear Lord, we ask you with all those who are sick and afflicted, those less fortunate we are. So many of our number have been ill. We ask you would be with the church here in New Lex, help us grow spiritually, numerically. Help us always love and support one another. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.